We all wish we could talk to animals. As it turns out, we can. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley explores the nature of interspecies communication. What are our animals trying to tell us? Animals commune through love, a force that opens all doors. Listening to them teaches us how to be better humans. Why? We can trust them to tell us the deepest truth about who we are and how one can grow into a more powerful version of self. Laura shares over 20 years of stories and wisdom learned from her work as an animal communicator in this hard and thought-provoking show.
Welcome, I'm Laura Rowley, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. I do a new show each month. So some are pre-recorded that month, and you can listen to them and download them at your leisure anytime you want. You can also listen online, live, or on your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, just go to dreamvision7radio.com, which is the media partner for the Omega Institute. Hi, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I really appreciate it. I've had the pleasure of finding out this year, at the end of this year, that 170,000 downloads have happened of my show, Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Feels like a lot to me, and I want to thank everyone for their attention and their interest, and I strive to come up with juicy topics all the time that are hopefully entertaining, but also stuff that you can use yourself. A lot of the downloads, if you go onto my web, if you go onto Dream Vision 7 Radio Network and you, pick one to download, I hope that no matter what order they're in, you get some value out of it. They're free and they're interesting capsules of little mini lessons of stuff that I've learned as an animal communicator the many years that I've been being an animal communicator. 22, 23 something, at least professionally anyway. So thanks so much for your listening and for your attention. Today's topic is how I do what I do is working from the heart. So I came up with that topic, how I do what I do is working from the heart, because in a recent conversation with my assistant, Karen, we were discussing how to improve, how I schedule the private sessions that people book with me and how to best manage everything for everyone's interest. So I asked Karen, I said, what do people most ask about? I'm curious to know that. So maybe I could address it on the radio show so that it helps people in their sessions with me to have a better session with me. So she said, well, people always are curious about sort of the spatial idea, the remote idea, that you're not with them when you have the session, nor do you know the animal, nor do you know them. So first thing most people want to know is how do they get to me, like geographically, to have a meeting with me. So I do everything that I do now pretty much, I'd say I do 98% of my appointments remotely. I do them from my home and you contact me from wherever you are. You don't necessarily need to be with your animal, and you don't need to be touching them. You need to be thinking about them with love, with an open heart. And from that, I can take that information and start doing what I do. So this is very similar. Now, we've all, in the world, I think, been forced, because of the pandemic, to get used to working remotely. So since everyone now works remotely, they're much more comfortable with the fact or the idea that I work remotely, because in a sense, we all sort of do the same thing. We bring maybe three big ideas to any conference that we are asked to join in when we do a Zoom or a video conferencing call or even a phone call. It's a meeting, so we're looking for connections to perhaps problem solving, which is what I do for a living. It's probably what all of us do for a living. How do we make more money? How do we create a schedule? How do we help our clients benefit from something? We're solving problems when we get together. So we bring a couple things to the table when we do that, sort of a recipe, if you will. One of the key ingredients of the recipe is we bring our experience to the table. our degree, maybe college, maybe not a degree, maybe something that we've just learned experientially through the school of hard knocks and experience. We bring our personal history, in other words, and we bring our expertise, the accumulated knowledge we have every time we go to a Zoom call and every time we go to a conference call. We bring our experience. The second thing we might bring is our agenda. So there's a topic on the table. So we have a level of preparedness for that call's topic, for the progress to move something from where it is to where we want it to be. We want to convert it from a problem, perhaps, to a solution or a plan or a schedule. We want to change something. So we bring our agenda or our preparedness to make that plan happen. Now, I don't usually have the benefit in my work of experience or agenda because I don't know usually who people are and I don't necessarily know why they're calling me. So I bring, when I come to an appointment, to a connective conference with someone, the third piece, which is my heart. And I think all of us do that when we come to any sort of meeting. We bring our heart to it. And I think we probably don't think about that too much. We tend to kind of put a lot of emphasis on our experience and on our agenda because we want to show up, we want to be professional, we want to do our jobs, we want to do our good jobs. But when we bring our heart, we're bringing a willingness to answer the agenda, and we want to be sort of in it. We want to be engaged. We want to feel, in other words, the needs of the other participants and add to the energy of the question or the problem to convert it into a triumph, a platform that is good for everyone. So our willingness to answer the agenda comes from our open heart, and really it's our desire for a good outcome. Desire is a big piece here, and I'm going to use it 1,000 times during the next conversation I'm having with you, because it's important to see how often we use our desire. Do I really want to make this better, or am I just sitting here, I don't know, kind of half checked out and not really paying attention to what I'm doing? Do I wish this call were over? Will I be relieved when it's over? Am I tempted to mute it because I have other fish to fry and I don't really want to pay attention to this thing over here? Or am I bringing my desire for a good outcome to the group to change the dynamics of the situation so that we all come up with a great solution? And conversely, if we all come up with a great solution and I'm really engaged, will the group be happier? And if they are, then am I contributing to sort of, well, joy and happiness by being in there with an open heart? We all know the feeling of completing some kind of assignment at work, or even at play, where we just feel really happy that we participated fully and that it all worked out. So that requires us to be sort of humble with our open hearts and show up and think, well, some of what we know about our experience and some of what we know about our agenda is certainly important, but I think the open heart piece is hugely important because it's the juicy stuff. The desire gets the energy flowing quicker and helps all of us start to fuel a better answer that is true problem solving at its best. So that's usually where my work starts, with the open heart. Not because I'm so virtuous, but it's the only tool I have since I don't have the other ones, experience and agenda. I just start with an open heart, which kind of gives me a big advantage. So the thing that people think, well, how could she do this? She doesn't know them. She doesn't know the animals. She doesn't know me. It's actually what makes it easy, because then I'm not hampered by that either. I'm not weighed down by my personal experiences, my prejudices, my history, my education. I'm only there thinking, huh, I'd be excited, I'd be joyful, I'd be happy if I helped you come up with a good outcome for what you're calling me about. So, stripped to the core, our open heart's pretty important for everything that we do, because it makes a difference between a better outcome, I believe, and I'm going to talk to you about why that's true. But I also think it comes with the holy, wonderful benefit of, like, I was involved and I liked it. I had fun in my life. Your life is just a series of connections. At the end of them, you want to feel like, wow, that was a good life. So how much did you pay attention with your open heart to each of those connections is something that I know I have to ask myself a lot. And I think it's something we all benefit when we focus on. It just makes life meaningful and more interesting because we've actually helped with a problem. We all feel better when we've helped. So how do we use our open heart as a tool? So I would want to focus for a minute a little bit on how do we understand energy. So I'm using the idea of energy and really like the biggest idea, the biggest definition of the thought of energy is like the life force. It's everything that's around us that makes things animated, alive, and makes it work. So I mean it that way when I use it. There's a lot of different definitions of the idea of energy. In fact, because I was curious and it was kind of fun, I looked up on the U.S. Energy Information Administration what they defined energy to be. This was instructive. They defined energy to be heat, light, motion, electrical, chemical, and gravitational. So that kind of sums it up. It's everything, isn't it? It's all the forces, in other words, that convert one thing to another thing. And that was the second piece it mentions on that particular website from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, is that energy is something that can be converted from one form to another. So, in my work, I'm trying to kind of convert a problem to a solution. And I would say that's true of everyone's work or whatever we do for a living or education or for enjoyment. We're kind of converting things all the time. We're using energy to shift things. And that's pretty interesting that we can do that. In other words, we're directly participating in energy, which is heat, light, motion, electrical, chemical, and gravitational. It pretty much doesn't leave anything out. So the fact that we can participate with it and use it to convert things is, I don't know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty momentous, I think. So it can be used, in other words, with our hearts and our minds as the tools to achieve outcomes that we desire. It's a vast resource. It's a vast pool of energy, if you will, that we have available to us. And it has multiple meanings to us now, to each of us individually, throughout history and in modern times. The word energy means a lot of different things. If you were Asian, it might mean chi. If you were Western, it might mean the life force. It's sort of the difference between being alive and not being alive. So we have these kind of interesting tools as humans. That's what I'm going to focus on. One is our mind and one is our open hearts. With these, we can set an intention and it uses energy or speeds up the energy around it, I believe, and it helps things come to a quicker resolution. And it works best when we're excited about it. In other words, when we have desire attached to it. I think that's like the big piece. That's why our heart's so important here, because it's our hearts through which we feel desire versus our minds. Our minds are, of course, important. But I'm saying we're going to use both of them. So it's kind of, you ask yourself, like, you know, all right, what is she talking about? Is this like a mystical idea or is this scientific? We tend to think in scientific terms as modern human beings, and that, of course, is enlightened and wonderful. I'm no scientist, but as a healer, it seems to me that there's a fine line, actually, between science and the mystical approach once you put your heart into it. So I'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along here. But basically, if we're always converting things, say, for instance, we take a simple idea, like we're converting food. We pick it, we grow it, we chew it, we eat it, and it becomes energy that runs our body. It turns into glucose. On a molecular level, we then use it. We take a river. Here's another example. It's flowing. We take that water that's flowing, we run it through a dam, through a hydroelectric facility. We develop electricity from that, more science, and that becomes a light bulb, which works to make people happier because now we can extend our days and change the way we do our lives minimally, not to mention heating our lives or cooling our lives. So everything gets converted from one thing to another. And in science, we all know those different ways. But myself, as a healer, I see all the time how we use our minds and our bodies to convert problems into solutions. And we use the tools of imagination and intuition to do that. So I'm making another kind of big leap when I say that. But let's take the idea, for example, of a scientist. Let's take the idea of a doctor, a physician, you know, a medical doctor. All right, so he's trained in science, and someone comes to him, a patient. He's got a weird set of symptoms. He needs help, and there's a lot of different things these symptoms perhaps could be attributed to. So your average doctor, who's maybe not too involved and figures, it's probably this or it's that, so I'll try this and see if that works. Might come up with a solution, might not. But then we all know those gifted doctors whose hearts are in it, and they say, I'm going to come up with the best solution. I'm excited about helping this person. And by doing that, I'm going to come up with that feel that I feel I know the right answer here. And like they're kind of those brilliant diagnosticians who are really great at just finding the exact problem that's bothering you so that you exactly get healing and health much faster. They're in it. Their heart's in it. So maybe they've used a little bit of imagination to get there, above and beyond their science. Maybe they've used a little intuition where they suspect that there's maybe four different solutions, but the fifth one seems to feel like the right solution. And they say, you know, let's look at this fifth solution and see if this isn't it, because I have a feeling it is. And then they explore it deeper, apply their science to it, and go forward. So in other words, the tools of imagination and intuition can be used with our science to really come up with the brilliant things, okay? The things to get excited about. So in other words, they're kind of the heartfelt answers that rise above sort of your average intelligence, your average stuff. The first patient might have to come back three times to the doctor until he figures it out. Oh, that didn't work. Let's try this. If that doesn't work, this will work. That's all true, but wouldn't we all rather be healed the first time by somebody that's brilliant with an open heart? Steve Jobs, the creator of Apple, which arguably was one of the great creations in the modern world, as well as a lot of other ones, but taking computers and using them brilliantly and creating a whole evolution of them, he said, if you don't love it, you're going to fail. That's a big statement. Now, I think he was sort of famous for big statements. He had that kind of a personality. But in other words, when we put our heart into it, it's the peace we need to not fail. It's the peace we need to use imagination and intuition, which he also talked a lot about. He felt that a lot of the credit that he deserved was using his imagination to really conceive of a computing world that was superior to anything else we could have conceived. So I'm not arguing for Apple here. I'm arguing for the idea that he did certainly bring excellence into computing, and he certainly did create something from nothing in his garage. A very big something from nothing in his garage as a very young man. Because he said you have to love it. So make sure you love what you're doing. It's a big deal. And if you don't, ask yourself why not, and then, you know, rearrange yourself, because it's so critical in everything that we do. It's the big piece of the recipe. The other piece of the recipe is having your heart felt so that you can use the energy of the heart to find the intuition and the imagination that makes things totally brilliant. Einstein was another great thinker of our time, right? No one can argue that. And he talked all the time about imagination. And he's quoted as saying, the true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. And he also said at a different time, I never made one of my discoveries through the process of rational thinking. So here he is, you know, one of the great thinkers and founders of some of the most difficult scientific discoveries of the modern world. And he didn't say he did it through scientific rational thinking. He said he used his imagination. So if we can imagine that we can connect to things remotely, if we can connect to a scientific idea, another human being, another species, if we can use connection and imagination creatively and say, you know, I think it's possible. I think I can do that. So we kind of use our imagination to make it so. That is where what I do for a living, I imagine that I can talk to your animal. That's really how I start. I think, well, I can figure this out. I don't know why I think I can figure it out. There's no science to back this up, but I think I can do it. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about how we make that happen in the next segment of this show. Thank you so much. You've tuned into Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love? What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LAURARROWLEY healer.com.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
The Soul Seat with psychic visionary Debbie Corr is where you'll discover how to awaken your soul, heal, and manifest. Are you searching for answers in all areas of life? Then have a seat and discover your life and soul's purpose. Whatever you're going through, Debbie's here to help you find your way forward. The Soul Seat can be heard every Tuesday at 1 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, when you can call Devi to receive psychic answers and spiritual solutions right here on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley, and you are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. It's always humbling and kind of wonderful to lead you all in these thinking exercises about the wonders of the universe and maybe how it all works, because I have an odd job as an animal communicator, which is someone who connects with animals on a level to ascertain what's bothering them and to try to help you solve those problems. I have to be very open-hearted and ready to hear what the animal's going to say. So one question I answer a lot is, how do they talk to me? Like, how do I hear anything when I'm in another state or another country from where the animal is? So we were just discussing that I use my imagination. That's how I keep my heart open. I say to myself every morning, well, what if I could do this? Imagine if I could talk to animals. Kind of an interesting idea. And it's something I wish everyone would play with a little bit, because I think I'm not the only one that can do it. I think we all have imaginations, and I think we all have intuition. And if you start to employ them as true gifts, as true tools, you can be kind of, I don't know, they're like a wizard's wand. They can sort of take, you know, your common existence and make it kind of magical and fun and interesting, because you're converting energy from one thing to another, a set of problems to an answer on one level. But for instance, when I talk to an animal, they usually send me pictures. I see in my imagination little pictures. It might be a little stick figure of a dog, or a little stick figure of a man running, you know, petting his cat, or a cat rolling over, or a horse galloping. And then in these little schematics of these little pictures that I'm seeing, again, with my imagination, the person has only said to me, I don't know what's wrong with my dog. He doesn't want to go for a walk anymore. He used to love his walks. I'm bummed about that. And all of a sudden I sit and I wait and I listen with an open heart. I really want to know the answer. I'm excited about the answer. And I wait for pictures to start to show up. So instead of editing those pictures in my mind and going, oh, that can't be real, blech, that's not true, I decide to believe them. I decide to take them for a hint and say, you know, maybe this is real. Maybe there's something that my imagination is grabbing a hold of that is sort of an intuition that is bigger than the science that I know to be true. And if that's true, can I take the energy around this and activate it by believing in it and get all the more interested in it to change the problem into a solution? So I imagine that an answer is findable. Now, that sounds a little odd, but it's one thing to see sort of a little picture, an image, but I have this desire to fix the problem. So I think to myself, well, I imagine that somehow I can find the answer for this person that maybe then can take what I find and take it to their veterinarian or their dog trainer and say, this might be some area that you're not paying attention to. What if we looked here? What if we looked there? so that the subject animal, the creature that we're worried about, starts to feel better about their life and starts to get healed. So there's something kind of accumulative that happens in that process. So I'm taking that energy, using my open heart and my imagination, but then you, as the person who's called me, is taking the energy, and they're, instead of going, oh, I don't believe this girl. Oh, how could she know this? My vet couldn't find it, so she certainly can't find it. No, I'm not a veterinarian, but what if the vet is looking at, you know, the wrong thing because he can't talk to the animal? So what if you got excited and said, wouldn't that be cool if she's right? So my clients that have really good outcomes lots of times are ones that are very open-hearted themselves or have had enough experience with me to know that they can believe me. You know, I'm not somebody that's making it up. I'm really there to help. And they've seen that I've done it in the past. So they come with the excitement of, wouldn't it be great if I could solve this problem in my life? And so their excitement, coupled with my excitement, coupled with the animal's excitement, starts to form a lot more energy. Now, we don't know what energy is as humans, particularly. You heard what I said, that the U.S. Energy Information Administration calls it heat, light, electrical, motion, chemicals, gravitational. So in other words, everything they're describing pretty much that converts something, from one thing to another thing, is energy. So that I'm using that idea. There's an energy that gets created in that conversation that starts to be accumulative. And the more excited everybody gets about fixing it, finding the solution, lending their energy to the problem, the quicker I come up with answers because it starts to feed me. And then my energy comes up higher and it's easier for me to read the animal. Then, especially animals, some animals are kind of like people. They're kind of quiet about it. They barely send me pictures. I have to probe them with a thought. I'll think, tell me why you don't go for your walk, I'll say to the dog. And I'll wait. Nothing happens. Then I'll say again, your owner loves you. There's a lot of love here, and they want to go with walks for you. Do you want to do that anymore? And I'll wait. So sometimes I have to kind of pump up the animal because maybe they're sick or maybe they're confused or maybe their energy isn't really into this conversation yet. But once in a while, I get an animal on first time they talk to me. They immediately like want to get in on the conversation and they want to add energy to the whole thing. I spoke with someone just a few weeks ago. I speak with her routinely because she has a couple show horses and she loves them passionately and wants to make sure they're always happy in their work. So she contacts me pretty frequently to do a little evaluation of, is everybody okay? So we usually do 4 or 5 horses in an hour. Some of them are retirees that live on her farm. Some are active horse show contestants. So she had just purchased a new horse and she said, you know, I really want to have you tune in and tell me what the new horse is thinking. So I thought, okay, I hardly know this horse. She hardly knows the horse, and she was in Florida. The horse was in Kentucky and was going to be shipped to her in Florida, and she could hardly wait for that, but he hadn't yet arrived. So she said, I did meet him once. She goes, I don't know if you're going to have trouble connecting with him. And I said, well, we'll see. Let's find out. So I tuned into Maria, it's her name's horse, and his name was Sunshine. She called him Sunshine. He had a whole another fancy name, but Sunshine was his name. So I said, Sunshine, you know, I'm here. I come in peace. I would love to know what you'd like from Maria. She's very happy to know you and wonders if there's anything you want to tell her. So Sunshine comes on, and he showed me a pair of gray, very light-colored gray riding breeches. I could tell that's what they were. And I thought, well, that's weird. Like, this is my first moment with this horse, and he just showed me light gray pants. So I could have started to doubt. I could have started to edit. I could have fallen out and thinking, oh, this is stupid. I'm never going to get the answer. This is embarrassing. I could have lowered the energy. Instead, I remained hopeful. My job is often just that, remain open and hopeful for better information. And then he showed me the idea that Maria was wearing those pants and that she used to wear darker ones. So nothing else comes, nothing else comes. So I said to Maria, who's waiting with bated breath on the phone, I said, all right, you're going to just think this is odd, but I'm going to tell you what I got. I said, Sunshine is showing me the idea that you're now wearing light gray pants instead of the ones that you used to wear, which I think were darker. She got really quiet. She goes, you are kidding me. And I said, no. She said, well, it's interesting that you say that because I made a choice when her other horse had passed away, who was her her heart horse. He was black. She always wore black pants when she rode him. And she decided, since Sunshine was a lighter color, he's gray, that she would try to find a light color pant to wear with him. For one thing, the hair doesn't show up when you wear a gray, when you wear black pants and you're around a gray animal. You end up with gray all over you. But she also thought it was sort of like an emotional response for her because the one horse meant so much to her. She wanted to sort of treat this new relationship with respect and not just be missing her old horse and her old partner. She wanted to kind of have a fresh start with Sunshine. So she had changed color pants purposefully to kind of create a, I don't know, a new palette for herself with the horse. She goes, seriously, that's what I did. And I only rode him a few times the week I went to buy him. And I so fell in love, I thought, this is the horse for me. And so by showing me a pair of gray pants, Sunshine was conveying in this conversation, like, I don't know, a world of thoughts, right? Her hopes, her dreams for a new relationship, her concerns over putting an old one to rest with honor. She started to sob. I started to sob because it was really beautiful. And Sunshine totally was showing us what. He was in the conversation. He was heartfelt about being there, and he wanted to be with her. Because he actually perceived all that in their first few meetings, conveyed it to me to show her, I want to show up for you, lady. I don't even hardly know you, but I like you, and I'm in. He was ready to show up with an open heart. So we all sobbed, and we had a beautiful conversation about their relationship, and it's really super happy. So what I want to say here is there's a thing that happens when everyone that's on a connective call, whether it's Zoom in your workplace or me doing a reading, when we all really get excited, there's an exponential thing that happens where a lot of information, a lot of intuitive gains are made that almost none of us can know individually, yet together we build something bigger than really what we even came there to build because we get excited. It's a simple thing. It's a stupid thing, but we have this ability to put our heart into it simply by getting excited about it. It's kind of amazing. So we can take your average problem, in other words, and come up with a brilliant solution. And so I take that information then, and I also make some other assumptions with my imagination. I also make an assumption that I have spirit guides who would like to help me. Some people believe in angels. Some people believe in spirit guides. Some people believe in none of that. I happen to think that some of the things I come up with, I certainly could not have come up with by myself, and I humbly know that I am a recipient of a drop-down intuitive piece of brilliance. I'm supposed to spit it out, share it so that it can make the world better, and I do so. That's something we all can do. Right? All just by using our intuition and our imagination, we've suddenly incorporated everyone around us, all the energy almost of the universe that we pull in and say, I don't know the answers. Let's not limit ourselves to a single palette of what the possible solutions are. Let's let everything in. Why not? The answer might be bigger, brighter, and better than anything we know of. So that comes from that open heart piece, kind of simple. Doesn't make anybody brilliant, but it can make any of us, well, kind of geniuses in a way, because I think our brain is able to do so much more than we give it credit for, because it's very attached to our heart. Okay? So it's almost like a discovery moment when we get all those together. We're going to talk some more about this. Thanks so much. This is Laura Rowley, and you are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's L-A-U-R-A-R-O-W-L-E-Y healer.com. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley and Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. We're talking about how to work with an open heart, how to work remotely to change things, to solve problems. And whether you're talking to animals, like I do for a living, or you're doing your own jobs in your own lives and solving your own problems, if you can keep an open heart, you introduce the idea that your imagination and your intuition can work and exponentially change maybe the facts, what science can tell us, what our knowledge can tell us. We can come up with a juicy, amazing answer to a problem by keeping our hearts open, because it involves us then using all the energy that is potentially available to us, or a piece of the, all we need is a little really piece of the energy of that which is potentially available to us in the world. Instead of just our little corner of the world about what we know, it'd be much better to use, why not, a much bigger, broader idea of anything that's possible. Let's convert this problem into a solution using energy by opening up our hearts so that we can imagine and intuit a better answer. Threw a lot of ideas in there. Really, the tricky piece, maybe the only piece that's important, is how much do you desire it? Or are you stuck in the problem? I think that's the hard part about problem solving, is we can, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? There has to be a way. How do I fix this? Can be kind of a monotonous energy to get attached to. You know, it kind of lacks brilliance. We focus on something, and we all know that usually what we focus on gets bigger, right? We focus on, oh, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I wish I knew the answer. So people call me from that place, kind of bummed lots of times, sometimes excited because they know I've helped in the past, or they're just excited about trying something new, and they're willing to be open. I'm going to try this lady so she can talk to animals, solve a problem. So I kind of get to be in this juicy place where sort of the miraculous exponential stuff happens every day, not because of me. I'm just sort of the orchestrator in the orchestra pit while everybody who's part of the orchestra comes with their instruments, and the more they're in it, the better the music is, right? The better it sounds, the more meaning there is to it. So I get to do this as a privilege, really, every day to get to sit in this place because it helps keep me pretty positive and pretty happy in my life because I feel like I'm always helping people. I spoke with a woman, and I think it's a really good example. This is several months ago because I've since had a follow-up appointment with her. But her initial conversation with me was one where she took her dog, Mabel. On walks every day, and Mabel stopped wanting to walk. Like, and it was, couldn't figure it out. Like, this was the big moment. They'd get the leash out, she'd yelp, they'd cry, let's go, hooray, barking, excitement down the driveway, and then sit at the end of the driveway and not want to go any further. They used to hike, they used to do all kinds of stuff to go. So when Anna, the owner, called me, she was feeling like, wow, is my dog too old? Is she super sick? Am I asking her to do something she doesn't like? My vet can't find anything. There doesn't seem to be anything. We don't know of anything. So she was really just sort of bummed because it was a source of real joy for her to take the dog for a walk. And so they were kind of down and out. So I did my thing, and I just sat with an open heart, and I listened to Anna talk to me about her problems and how she felt she didn't have a solution to them and how much that bothered her because she's kind of perfectionistic and she felt like she was failing deeply. So lots of low energy there, sadness on her part, which is completely understandable. I don't judge it. I understand it. I feel the same way when one of my animals isn't feeling great or one of my people aren't feeling great. So I just sit there and I don't judge it and I think, well, let's use my imagination. I'm not going to allow any doubt in. She comes stuffed with it, stuffed with doubt, brimming with doubt. And doubt is a downer. It makes us sad and it makes us question everything we have and it makes us confused. And it's a definite killjoy for using our imagination or using our intuition. Doubt is the enemy. Because it has to do with fear. It makes us think, oh, I really will never figure this out. I'm afraid I'll never get out of this trap I'm in. So you feel less than brilliant when you're in a place of doubt. I mean, imagine, this illustrates my point. If you're dreaming like a really happy dream, say you're dreaming something that just makes you like, so joyful. You're dreaming of, I don't know, you're going to have a lake house and you want to get a sailboat and you love it. And then you throw a little doubt into that. Oh, I'll never make enough money to do all that. It basically kills the dream. You almost can't even get back to the dream once you throw doubt in because it throws fear in. Oh, I'll never get that. I'll never have that, we say to ourselves. So it's important when you're trying to connect with anything, trying to solve any problem, that you really look at how much doubt am I bringing to the table here? Because it doesn't really help you. It only hurts you. It's just a vibratory downer to using any sort of energy. So cast aside your doubt if you can. My job is to put it aside. So in this case, I'm talking to Anna and to Mabel. And I understand that she's not sure I can come up with the answer. I understand her doubt may be well-founded, and I don't blame her for it. You know, she's tired of everything. She lacks faith in me. She doesn't know me. And she's had a lot of failure, which is her experience here. The dog never wants to go for a walk. So in this case, her experience is actually not helpful at all. It's contributing to the doubt. It's firming up the idea that we'll never walk again, we'll never have a happy time, and something's really wrong with my dog. So my job is to keep the faith going. You know, don't let the energy kill of the person's doubts and fears and pains wreck the desired outcome. And I have to elevate the meeting with my desire, and hopefully, in this case, Mabel's desire, and ultimately Anna's desire. If the three of us could get together and desire a happier outcome, maybe we can make it actually happen. So, back to Mabel. I asked her, you know, I heard you're sad. Something's not going well. You're sitting at the end of the driveway. And then I just sit there and wait and hope I get a picture, which is something I long for, or maybe a voice. Some animal communicators feel a tingling. Some people just know the answer. Other people see a picture. There's no real right way to do this. Intuition is kind of magical. Who knows? It's different for everybody. This is how it happens to be for me. Mabel showed me sadness. So I felt my heart constrict, and I felt really like I almost wanted to cry. She was sad. So I gave her empathy. I said, oh, I'm sorry. This isn't good. What's wrong? So then she lifted up her front paw and just bent it. So it's just an image of a little black dog bending her leg. I don't even know if the dog is black. I don't have to know the scientific facts about it, right? All I need to know is she's picking up her leg and she's sad. So the next image that came was this image of me being with, as if I were Mabel, almost like you're in a dream now, right? And I feel myself rolling and tumbling helplessly, like I'm being shot with a lot of force out of something and down a hill, rolling and tumbling and falling. I think it's a hill. So I said to Anna, I said, did Mabel have a fall or something? Did something happen? And she got quiet and she said, I can't think of anything. And then I said, well, I just got rolled and tumbled down a hill. And when I was talking to Mabel, I'm believing my imagination, in other words, okay? That's all I'm doing here. And she goes, oh. She said, actually, there was a weird thing that happened. She got in the back of our pickup truck when we were doing landscaping around our house. And we were driving up a hill, and she fell out the back of the pickup truck, but she just rolled a few times and stood up. But she said that did happen. And I said, did it happen before she stopped going for a walk? And she said, well, yeah, actually, I think it did. Actually, it did. So all of a sudden, it's like we're creating a jigsaw puzzle, right? She's starting to get excited that maybe that is the answer to what's bothering the dog. The dog is starting to get excited that somebody cares about the answer, and I'm getting excited because everybody's starting to get on the same page about figuring out an answer. So now we all start to put in more energy into this. All of a sudden, Anna isn't doubting everything. She's going, well, you know, actually, right after that, she limped for a couple days. And I said, with her front paw? And she said, yes, but it went away within a couple days. So then I said to Mabel, I said, does your leg still hurt you from when you rolled and tumbled and fell? And she gave me this, if she could have barked in my ear, that's what she did. She went like, yes, like that. So I then imagined I could see Mabel's skeleton. Just my imagination, right? So I saw when I pretended I could see it that the metatarsal bones, which are the little bones on the feet, had, I don't know, they looked like they were, they had scar tissue on them. So I told that to Anna, and I said, you might want to have her foot x-rayed. I wonder if she broke her bones in her foot when she fell like that. And just, they didn't mend quite right. They don't look straight to me anymore. I think you need your veterinarian to maybe x-ray it, because that's something you don't do when you go to the vet. You don't x-ray every bone in a dog's body to figure it out. You know, that wouldn't be practical or ethical or economical to do that. So the follow-up to this whole thing was that she went back to the vet and there were bones broken that healed poorly. And so the dog was in a lot of pain, and they did a medical procedure to fix that. And we followed up later on with Mabel, and I think they probably had to re-break one of the bones and set it properly and put her little foot in some sort of a cast to immobilize it till it healed properly. And it did, and it worked, and the dog ended up going for walks. They had to be careful on not going on hard ground, and there were some problems with that a little bit. But all in all, they figured it out, and then the dog wasn't limping anymore, and everybody got happy because everybody, you know, came to the table and said, let's work this out. Let's send and receive energy with an open heart and not really fret over whether we know the facts. Let's just let our intuition and our imagination sort of, you know, carry the day. Let's let it lead us to an answer about where we want to go. And sometimes as humans, we get a little too busy reviewing what we know to be true versus what might be true. And our imagination and our intuition, using energy available to us through the universe, lets us take what might be true and have it maybe be true. So it's pretty cool stuff, you know. In other words, we can get desired outcome in any solution by using and allowing imagination and energy to be involved in it. Another Einstein quote that I'm going to use here because it's just kind of perfect is, imagination is everything, he said. It's the preview of life's coming attractions. So if we start to use that idea and we think about it with an open heart, we can all be geniuses. And that's kind of the bottom line. Don't limit yourself. Thank you so much for listening. All the times you've listened, and if this was your first time, I really appreciate it. This is Laura Rowley, and you are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. You can look at my website, laurarowleyhealer.com, if you would like an appointment with me or help orchestrating a workshop to develop your own intuition and your imagination. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Heard every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Laura next time to discover how you can embrace the wisdom flowing from your loved animals. Communication starts with an intention to understand. Each week, Laura helps you find your own unique ability to create a better understanding of yourself as taught through the loving eyes of your animals. To connect with Laura Rowley, go to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.